We're going to turn now to Saudi Arabia, where the Saudi king was one of President Mubarak's staunchest defenders, and he was unhappy about pressure from the U.S. and others to persuade Mubarak to step aside. NPR's Deborah Amos is in the Saudi capital, Riyadh, and she joins us now. And Deb, has there been any official Saudi reaction to Mubarak's resignation?
Robert, there has not, and there is unlikely to be an official reaction, mostly because King Abdullah is recovering from back surgery in Morocco. Usually, Saudi reaction is slow. But in this case, Mubarak was a close personal friend of the king, and it was Saudi Arabia's closest ally. So this is an earthquake for certainly the senior leadership here. There have been other official reaction from around the Gulf. The United Arab Emirates put out a statement tonight saying that the government trusted Egypt's higher military council. The government of Qatar issued a statement. Now, of course, Qatar is the home of Al Jazeera, the Arab satellite broadcasting company, and many Arab leaders believe that it was Al Jazeera that inspired the revolt in Tunis and Egypt. Not quite true, but Qatar said that they also supported what's happened in Egypt. I got an email today from a member of Bahrain's Shura Council. That's a government body there. And he said there's no official statement, but the government was comfortable with the military council. He said that there was a large gathering at the Egyptian embassy tonight, and he was celebrating himself with a cigar.
And what are you hearing about reaction from ordinary Saudis who've been watching the events in Cairo?
There's been no demonstration of any kind here because it's not permitted. But when I'm calling around, there's a real sense of elation. You know, Saudi Arabia is a very young country. 70% of the population here is under 30. And Saudis have been obsessed with the Egyptian story. There are strong ties between the two countries. More than a million Saudis live in Egypt, and more than a million Egyptians live and work here. So they followed these events, and they were inspired by them. I talked to a human rights activist tonight, Mohammed Khatani, and he says he's gotten hundreds of text messages. He said some of them are asking whether it's time to organize a national political party in the kingdom. Now, political parties are banned here, but Egypt has given many people courage to think that anything's possible.
Lessons for Saudi Arabia here with such a young population and people, as you say, at least some of them elated by these developments in Egypt?
Oh, I think Egypt is a wake-up call for Saudi Arabia because there are some of the same economic problems. Even in this country that has the largest economy in the region, inflation is rising and so is unemployment. Saudi Arabia has one of the lowest per capita incomes in the region, and the unemployment figures are at 10%, but 44% of those people who are unemployed are college graduates. That's the men. 87% of unemployed women are college graduates. So what you have, and this is true across the region, is a revolution of rising expectations. The government can't provide enough jobs in the public sector. Those are the old, sort of safe government jobs. The private sector isn't big enough to take up the slack. I think here government officials thought they had a decade to fix this. Now there's a sense after Egypt that time is speeding up. They have to come up with answers within 2 or 3 years. They have to produce 250,000 jobs every year for the next 20 years to keep up with the population growth. Egypt is a wake-up call, I think, for the Saudi leadership.
Thank you, Deb.
Thank you, Robert.
It's NPR's Deborah Amos speaking to us from Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.